Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Tzadik Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 9 lines from the top of Daf Tzadik Tes. At the end of the line, the two dots you can see, shtei gezustros v'chulei. The Mishnah discussed the positioning of two balconies. However, the Gemara itself will focus on the wagons that carried the Mishkan beams in the Midbar. On the side, under our Nosei, our topic heading, we have written, Midois Ho'agolois, the dimensions of the carts, Vanochas HaKroshim Aleim, and the placing of the beams on these carts. It might be worth mentioning that we have already dealt with certain aspects of the carts during our previous shiur. We continue in the Gemara, though. Omar Rav Mishum Rabbi Chiya. Rav, quoting Rabbi Chiya, says, Agolos, the wagons, and this is a comment that we saw back on Daf Tzadik Ches, Agolos, Tachtein, Uvenein, Vetzidehen, the wagons underneath them, between them, and their sides, Rishus Harabim, constitutes a public thoroughfare. Omar Abaye, Bein Agolo Va'agolo, the gap between each wagon, it was kemloi oirech agola, was the equivalent of the length of a wagon. The kamo oirech agola, and what was the length of the wagon? Chamesh amos, 5 amos. So the length of the wagon measured 5 amos. The Gemara asks, Lomo li, what do you need to have the orech of the agola, 5 amos, bedalid upalga sagi? It would be sufficient if the wagon were 4.5 amos long. The beams were placed in we'll say piles on the agola. Each beam measured 1.5 amos in width. You could fit on a wagon that's 4.5 amos. You can fit 3 piles of 1.5, 3 times 1.5 would give you 4.5 amos. So the question is, what if you, in other words, if you placed 3 piles of beams close to one another without any space between them, the length, being that the length of the beams were placed in the across the width of the wagon, so a wagon 4.5 amos long would be enough. The Gemara answers, Ki hechi delo lidchiku kroshim. If the piles were piled up so densely, 3 piles without any gap between them, and the cart, as it rolled along, would, let's say, roll over some bumps, or even the basic cart movement would cause the beams to fall off. In other words, you need a little bit of space for natural movement, and at the same time, the beams remaining on top. Omar Rova, Tside Agola, the width of the, we'll say the sides of the Agola, Kemloi Roichav Agola, measured the same as the width of the Agola itself. Kamo Roichav Agola, what was the width of the Agola? Shte Amos Mechza. So that the width of the Agola itself measured 2.5 amos, and what Rava said is that the distance from the side of the agola to the outer edge of the wheels was another total of 2.5 amos, basically 1.25 amos on the right side and 1.25 amos on the left side. The Gemara asks, what do I need to have an agola width of 2.5 amos? Lomoli, what do I need? 2.5 amos of width, ba'amsa upalga sagi, 1.5 amos of wagon width would be enough. In other words, if, let us say, you needed for some reason to load the beams on the wagon in their length, in other words, the length of the beams would be parallel to the length of the wagon. So we would require a wagon to be only 1.5 amas wide to hold the beams in their length. The Rashi says, Lomali, Rochvo, Tarti, Upalgo. What do I need to have a width 2.5 amas? Im mipnei, shimitzorch lohushiv, minakroshim, lutoicho, yachnis. If, because for some reason you would have to place the kroshim, as we said before, the length, the lay the kroshim down on the agola, in paralleling there the length of the kroshim to the length of the agola. Rashi goes on, ba'amsa upalga sagi, 1.5 amas of width would be enough, v'yashkivam bo al chudon, and you can lay the beams on their chudon, on their edge. And in fact, the beams, chudon, the thickness of the beams was actually only 1 amma. So a wagon, 1.5 ammas wide, would have been enough for a, we'll say, a contingency situation like that. What do we mean by a contingency situation? In general, as we said before, the beams were laid on the cart perpendicular to the, in other words, the length of the beam was laid across the width of the cart. But here we're saying if there was a contingency situation where you had to lay the beam of the length of the beam parallel to the length of the cart, you don't need to have a cart 2.5 amas wide. So the Gemara answers, Ki heshi delo lididu kroshim, the reason I need to have a cart 2.5 amas wide is that in the normal carriage of the beams, in the normal transport, as we said before, the length of the beam was placed across the width of the cart. If the cart would be a very narrow dimension, like 1.5, and you're dealing with beams that are 10 amos long, they would be very, very hard to balance them, as you, being that there's such a limited surface area of cart to hold the beam. It's, if you can imagine, it's like trying to support a pencil across one's finger. So therefore, but if you let's say you put two fingers parallel next to each other, it's much easier to support a pencil lying across them perpendicular to the fingers. Hence, you need to have a cart not 1.5 amas wide, but 2.5 amas wide. The Gemara continues, Elo de Kaimolon, that which we hold, Derech Rishus Arabim, Shesh Esrei Amo, the width of a public thoroughfare, in order to constitute a public thoroughfare, in order to constitute a Rishus Arabim, it has to be 16 amos wide. Anan de Gamrinon Lomi Mishkan, we who learn from the Mishkan, if you make all of the calculations as we've been doing, in other words, you have two carts that are running parallel to one another, and you have the beams running across the carts, the statistic that you will come out with is the cart themselves, we said, were 5 amos in width. And there were two carts, so if each cart was 5 amos, and two carts next to each other were 10 amos, and the space between the two carts was another 5 amos, so that would account for 15 amos. And hence, where do you get the 16 from? That's the Gemara's question when it says the Mishkan Chameis Rihavoy, and we have a little diagram to the side. It's a crude diagram, as we've mentioned before. Our art level doesn't compare to the available books, and we've mentioned that the Pirush Chai is a very worthwhile book to try to acquire, authored by Rav Chaim Porush, that has illustrations on parts of Masechus Shabbos, including this perek. But nevertheless, on our chart, you can see we have agolas, and on top of the agolas are the kroshim, and we have the dimensions that are of note here. The beam, the total length of a beam was 10 amos. It was positioned in a balanced fashion over the cart. So you have 5 amos of cart, and then the overhang of the beam toward facing the next cart was 2.5 amos of beam overhanging, and then the opposite beam also had its 2.5 amos, and then the cart 5. If you add 5 and 5 is 10, and 2.5 twice is another 5, for a total of 15 amos. So the Gemara answers, Amso Yisera Havoi, there was an extra amo that we didn't account for. The Havikoi ben Levi, there was a Levi who accompanied the carts as they were rolling along in the Midbar. The Chi Mishtafi Kroshim, if he would notice the Kroshim, the Mishkan beams slipping off, Have Noket Lu, he would be there to grab them. So with these statistics in place, we have accounted for 16 amos across the two parallel carts, and the one amo gap between them accounts for 16 amos. Hence the formal width of a Rishus HaRabim is in fact learned from the Mishkan and its construction process in the Midbar. In this case, we're talking about the transportation of the Mishkan beams. The Mishnah. Chuyas habor v'hasela shehein gvoyin asara urechovon arba'o. If you have a pit and its rim, and if you measure from the bottom of the pit to the top surface of the rim of dirt surrounding the pit, the rim of dirt we're talking about is, if you are digging out a bore, digging out a pit, the dirt that you remove from the pit, you might very well pile around the pit that you are digging out. So as that dirt piles up, it forms a type of mound or ring around the pit. That's what we're trying to describe here. And here we're describing a pit dugout, where if you measure from the bottom of the pit to the top of the rim that you formed, you will have 10 tfochim of height. And if the measure across measures 4 tfochim across, so we have 10 tfochim of depth from the top of the rim of this bore, the rim meaning the dirt, the mound that formed around the pit, and a width of 4x4 tfochim, we have established, we've constructed what is in effect a Rishus HaYochid, a private domain. Hanotel mehen vanosin al gabon chayav, one who is standing on a public thoroughfare that is running by this bore that you just dug out, and one takes from the pit and puts it on the street, or one takes something from the street and places it on this rim around the bore, chayav, he will be guilty of transferring something from one domain to another. The street being a Rishus HaRabim, and the mound, the pit with its ring around it, mound ring around it, is a Rishus HaYochid, a private domain. Pochos Mikan Potter, if they measure less, then the pit with its rim around it don't constitute a Rishus HaYochid, rather it would be a Karmelis, a non-Torah classified domain, and putting something on such a thing from a public thoroughfare would be exempt from a Torah level Shabbos violation. Lomo li lemisni chulias habor vaselali. Gemara's question here is focusing on the word chulias that appeared in the Mishnah. Why is it necessary to state that? Lisni habor vasela. If the Mishnah is interested in telling us about what a Rishus HaYochid is, and that a Rishus HaYochid could be either something that is a depression or something that is something that has height to it, a mound above the surface level. So simply teach a bor, that's a pit, that's something in depth, and a selah would be a rock, something that has height to it. So what do we gain, what does the Mishnah gain by mentioning Chulias Habor? To appreciate the question even further, let us look at the Rashi. Loma li lemisni, we're looking at Rashi toward the lower part of the page. Loma li lemisni Chulias Habor vasela pshita lon de sela nokat linyan gova. It's obvious that the Mishnah speaks about a rock to teach me the concept of a height of some protuberance that would constitute a rishus hayochid. Ubor linyan omek, and a bor, a pit, is taught regarding the concept of depth. She notel mitochu motzi, which is someone who takes something from a pit and places it on the thoroughfare, a public thoroughfare, would be guilty of hoitzah. Ti leinyan gova kigon lemorid mechuyo lemato ukigon derochva arbaa lomali lemisni klal. If the point of the Mishnah is to tell me that if you lower something from the rim to the bottom of the pit, so what do I have to teach it for? Ha tonale sela, the concept of a height is taught already by using the word sela. So once again, if the purpose of teaching me about a chulias habor is to tell me about the height formed by the rim around the bor, that one who would take something off the rim of the bor and put it into the public thoroughfare, that would be obvious already by the fact that the Mishnah teaches me sela. Elavadai lemotzi mitoch ognei bor nokat lo. So rather, the purpose of the chulias habor, the rim around the bor, is to teach me about a special case about where I'm taking an item from within the rim of the bor and placing it on the street. V'kevon dehochihu, and since that's the point, chulio lomali, why does the Mishnah teach me about the rim? Lisni habor le'oimek v'asela le'gova. Teach about a bor and a sela. The bor representing depth and the sela representing height. So the Gemara answers, what I gain by teaching Chulias Habor is another scenario. Misayale Rabbi Yochanan. This Mishnah supports Rabbi Yochanan's teaching. Diom Rabbi Yochanan bor v'chulioso mitstarfin la'asora. The depth of the pit and the rim around it, when you add them up, they can join up to constitute an entity that has a depth of 10 tvachim. To make the bor, which itself measures less than 10 tvachim, but being that it's surrounded by this rim that has its own height to it, so the entire entity becomes a rishus hayochid. Tanya nami hochi, and we have a Tanaic source to support this point. The Brisa teaches, and this is the frame constitutes a Brisa in our Gemara markings, and this frame section continues three lines from the top of Omid Beis. Bor b'shus rabim, a pit in a public thoroughfare, amuka asor chova arba, if the pit itself is 10 tvachim deep and 4 tvachim wide, ein mimalin himeno b'shabbos, one cannot stand in the Rishus Rabbim and draw water from the pit on Shabbos. Because in effect what he's doing is he's taking something from the pit that measures 10 tefachim deep, 4 tefachim across, that's a Rishus HaYochid, and drawing from it to the street, which is a public thoroughfare, hence an Isser Hoitzah. So therefore you can't fill up from it on Shabbos. We continue with the Gemara on the top of Omid Beis. Elo im kein osu lo mechitza gavoa asor tvachim. The only way you'd be able to draw from the pit is if you made a surrounding wall around the area of the pit, enclosing the pit in a surrounded area. Something surrounded by the pit would then be surrounded by a wall, and you would be standing within the wall that runs around the pit and added, say, street level perimeter, so you could stand within the wall, and being that you're standing within the wall, within the smichitza, so you're standing already in a rishus hayochid, so you can take from the pit that itself is a rishus hayochid. The ein shosin heimeno b'shabbos, likewise one cannot drink, like bend over and drink from the pit on Shabbos, whereby he is standing in a Rishus HaRabim and bending over into the pit. Elohim Kein Hichnis La Rosh HaRub, unless you insert into the pit your head and the majority of your body. In other words, your head and your torso would be in the pit, and drinking in that fashion, that would be okay. But any less than that would be forbidden. Ubor v'chulyasa mitstarfen l'asar. And this is dashed, underlined in our Gemara markings to emphasize that this is the reason the source was brought in to our Gemara, to show you that the Tanaic source supports the idea that was mentioned before by Rabbi Yochanan, that the pit and the surrounding rim, elevated rim around the pit, can add up to measure 10. If you measure from the top of the rim to the bottom of the pit, and there are 10 tfachim, so that entity would be called a Rishus HaYochid. As we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice triangles, and they're featured under our Mivneh heading, in the outside margin. The triangle that you can see under the Mivneh says, Sidros Shel Shelos, a series of questions, Be'inyin Hotzah. These are questions that have as a common theme the issue of Melechas Hotzah. The topic heading that we have listed here is a case of Omud Rishus HaRabim, a pole or a pillar in a public domain, Govo Asara V'Rochav Arba. The pillar has the beam has a height of 10 tfachim and a width of 4 tfachim, V'Zorak V'Noch Al Gabovin. You threw something from the street and it landed on the top of this pillar. The Gemara. Bo mine Rav Mordechai Mirabo. Amud Rishus HaRabim Gvo Asara V'Rochav Dalet. V'Zorak V'Noch Al Gabov Mahu. So the Amud is we'll call it a pillar in a public thoroughfare that has the dimensions of 10 tvachim in height, 4 tvachim across, and you threw something and it landed on top of the pillar. What is the din? There are two sides of the question, and they're listed in our markings as Aleph O Dilma Base. The O Dilma is squiggle underlined, two lines from here. And the reason we do that marking is that we like in Gemara markings to highlight with a squiggle underline all transitional type phrases, like O Dilma, which just gives you transition to the second side of the question. So the question continues. Mi amrinon hare akira be'iser hare hanocha be'iser. Do we focus on the beginning and the end of the act of hoitzah, which is the uprooting, the picking up of the item, whereby you picked it up in the public domain and it landed on a private domain, and hence this would be a Shabbos violation, oidilma, or possibly kevan demimokom ptur ko'asyo loy. The projectile, as it lands on the top of the Rishus HaYochid, a moment before it landed on the Rishus HaYochid, where was the projectile located? So it had to be arcing over, coming right before it hit the area above the Rishus HaYochid. It was in a position or at a height of more than 10 tefachim off the ground as it arced over to land on the pillar. When you have an item that's 10 tefachim off the, more than 10 tefachim from the ground, because the pillar itself is 10 tefachim in height, so in order to land on the top of it, it had to come from a space more than 10 tefachim off the ground. Well, that phenomenon of being more than 10 tefachim off the ground and not being at a state of rest on something specific, that's called coming from a mokum ptur. And since the item came from a non-culpable realm or region, that would be reason for exempting him. If we look at the Rashi, Bimokom Ptur Kasya, Rashi is the upper part of the narrow lines. She'i efshir shil higbia tchila lemala min ha'omud. It's impossible that a projectile didn't arc over above the pillar. Shu mokom ptur, she'eno avir rishus harabim. It's not the airspace of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The airspace of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim continues till 10 Tfachim, and that's it. It's also not called airspace of Rosh Hashanah Yochid. The concept of Rosh Hashanah Yochid goes up till the heavens. Hanimili keneged Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Aval hai mekami delimti la'avir amud agbei l'malo me'asora. It's a moment before it is over the pillar. It's not over the pillar. It's arcing over. So at that point that it's arcing over, it's at a height of more than 10 tefachim from the ground, and at the same time, it's not literally right over the pillar yet. So in that sense, it's coming from what's called a mokom ptur, from a non-culpable area, and that therefore maybe this person will be innocent. Omar Lay, the Gemara continues with Rabba answering, Masnisen he. The answer can be found in the Mishnah. That's what Rabba answered Rav Mordechai. Also Shaili, the Rav Yosef. So Rav Mordechai presented his question to Rav Yosef. Omar Lay, same answer. He says, Masnisen he. Also Shaili Labaye. Omar Lay, Masnisen he. Rav Mordechai then, for the third time, in this case hearing from Abaye, that it's in the Mishnah. The answer lies in the Mishnah. Omar Lahu, Rav Mordechai gets a little bit upset, it seems, and he says, Kulu, Beroka, Dahadadi, Tafisu, do you all spit the same saliva? In other words, you're all saying the same thing? Omar Lay, so they said back to Rav Mordechai, Vat Lo Tizbara, and you don't agree? Vahotanan, but it says in the Mishnah, Hanoitel mehen v'hanoisein al gabon chayav. We have a little arrow that indicates to look at Omid Aleph. And if you look back at Omid Aleph toward the lower part of the page, in the Mishnah it said that when you have the chuyas abor v'asela that are 10 tfachim of height and 4 tfachim of width, it says hanoitel mehen v'hanoisein al gabon chayav. If you're standing in the street and you take something from them, or you place something on top of them, you are guilty. So, what do you see? You see that if you place something on them, it's coming from a height of more than 10 tefachim, and then landing on the Rishus HaYochid, the Sela, or the Chuyas Abor, and we're telling you that you're Chayev. So even though it's coming from an area of more than 10 tefachim above the street, he nevertheless is Chayev. So don't you see that the fact that it's coming from a Mokum Tur is not reason for innocence? Omar Lay, so Rav Mordechai responds, Dilmo Masnisen B'machat. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about a very fine thing like a needle that doesn't seem to have height, or doesn't seem to account for additional height. It's not an example of something coming from a mokum ptur. The Gemara asks, "Machanami afshedelo midli porta." Even if it's a needle, something that has very little height to itself, but a moment before it lands on the Rishus HaYochid, it's coming from above that. It's coming from above the height of 10 tefachim, and therefore, and the Mishnah says he's guilty. So Rav Mordechai responds, I'm not convinced from the Mishnah, because I will tell you, the is le mursha. The Mishnah is featuring a needle that's landing on a small protrusion. A mursha would be a protrusion from the rock that's in the Rishus HaRabim. So it's landing on that. And being that it's landing on the protrusion, it's not necessarily coming from above 10 tefachim. The second answer is inami de ramyo b'charitza. The Mishnah is describing someone placing a needle in a crevice or a crack that's in the rock. And in order for the needle to get into that crevice, it doesn't necessarily have to come from above 10 tefachim. It might be inserted into the crevice and never falling onto the rock from above
10 tfachim. So my question, says Rav Mordechai, my question remains. The Gemara continues. Omar Rav Mesha, Boi Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Yochanan raises a question. Kosel Bishus Arabim, a wall that's facing the public thoroughfare, Gavoa Asara, it is of height 10 tfachim, V'eino Rochav Arba, and the wall does not have a thickness to it of 4 tfachim. However, the wall that we are talking about, Umukuf LeKarmelis, it surrounds an open field. A Karmelis is a rabbinic region. It's not a Rishus HaYochid, and it's not a Rishus HaRabim. The reason that a standard Karmelis is not a Rishus HaYochid is because it's not enclosed. But in our question, in Rav Yochanan's question, we're describing a wall that is 10 tefachim tall. It is thinner. It is thinner than 4 tefachim in thickness. However, it surrounds a Karmelis, a Mukuf LeKarmelis, the Asor Rishus HaYochid, thereby making the enclosed area itself, the enclosed area is a private domain, V'zorag V'noch Al Gabov, and someone standing in a Rishus HaRabim through a projectile, and it landed on this wall, the wall having a height of 10 tefachim, and it is enclosing a Karmelis. What is the din regarding this action of throwing from the Rishus HaRabim and landing on this particular wall? So this question has two sides to it. Mi amrinan kevondeinu rochav arba mokum turu. Do we say since the wall itself is less than 4 tfachim in thickness, the wall is considered a mokum ptur? And being that it's a mokum ptur, so he would be innocent for his action of going from Rishus HaRabim to the top of this narrow wall. Oy dilma, or possibly kevon da'asa oy Rishus HaYochid, keman the moli damyon. Since the wall creates a Rishus HaYochid, the fact that it surrounds an area, so it creates a Rishus HaYochid, in your mind's eye, maybe it's as if it's all filled up to the top of the wall. And once again, in your mind's eye. And therefore, the top edge of the wall is like something very thick. The entire the diameter of the enclosed area would add to the thickness of the wall, so that the wall is not only 10 tefachim tall, but it has a very wide surface area, making the whole thing, even the upper edge, the top edge of the wall, a Rishus HaYochid. And hence, if I put something on there from that I picked up from the Rishus HaRabim and threw onto the top of this wall, it would be guilty. It would create guilt. Omra Ula. Ula responds, Kal v'chomer. He says you can answer this question regarding the 10 tefach high wall, less than 4 tefach in thickness, but it encloses a karmelis, with the following Kal v'chomer. Le'achirim oise mechitza la'atzmo l'kol shekein. It makes the entire enclosed area a Rishus HaYochid. The concept of oise mechitza is another way of saying that it creates a Rishus HaYochid. So for itself, the wall itself, it won't be considered a Rishus HaYochid. Of course it will be. It marnami, Omar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Omar Rav, Chen Omar Rav Yitzchak, Omar Rav Yochanan, Koisil Rishus HaRabim, a wall found in a public thoroughfare, Gavoa Asor Veinu Rochav Arba, that it's 10 tefachim tall and less than 4 tefachim in thickness. Umukuf LeKarmelis, and it surrounds a Karmelis type domain, a rabbinic domain. Vaso, the fact that you have a wall around it makes it Rishus HaYochid, makes it into a private domain. That means the entire closed area is a private domain. Hazorik v'noch al gabov chayov. If one throws something from a street, from a public thoroughfare, and it lands on the top of this wall, they will be guilty. If it makes a mechitza, meaning it constitutes an enclosure for something else, for the Karmelis area that's contained within this wall, so the wall itself, all the more so, lo kol shekein, will certainly be considered a Rishus HaYochid. If it makes something else a Rishus HaYochid, so it certainly will itself be considered a Rishus HaYochid. Boi Rav Yochanan. Bor Tisha, a pit that is 9 tefachim deep.
the Okar Mimenu Chulya, and you dug up from it dirt from the bottom, Vishlimo La Sora, and thereby making the entire pit 10 tvochim of depth, and this dirt that you just dug up, you then place on the street level, in the Rishus HaRabim. Mahu, what is the halachic status of this action? Akiras chefetz v'asiyas mechitza v'hadi hadodi ka'osu u'mechayev, oi loi mechayev. Do we say that the uprooting of the chefetz, of the item, in this case it's the dirt that he's digging up from the bottom of this 9 tefach bor, so the uprooting of the item and the making of a domain, the mechitza, as we saw before, is another expression, is an alternative expression for the making of a domain, that he is simultaneously removing the dirt, doing the akira, and making it into a private domain, and hence and that it happens simultaneously, and that would be chayev. In other words, the placing of the dirt on the street level you are in effect going from a Rishus HaYochid to the street, which is a Rishus HaRabim, or maybe since it's happening simultaneously, you would not be guilty because it wasn't a pre-existing Rishus HaYochid. Im Timtze Lomar, the structure of this Gemara is a build-up structure. And im Timtze Lomar, if you take the position, kevan delo havi mechitza sor meikora lo mechayev, since it wasn't initially a private domain, therefore you will not be chayev. What about the next case? Bor asora v'nosan l'seichechuyo u'miyato mahu. Here you have a pit that is already 10 tefachim deep. So the pit is already a Rishus HaYochid. And I take dirt from a public domain, and I place it into the pit, but by my placing the dirt in the pit, I'm thereby reducing the pit, making it into a non-private domain, because it lacks now a depth of 10 tefachim. What do you say about this case? And once again, this is a build-up. Meaning, assuming that in the case before, the problem or the grounds for innocence is that it wasn't a pre-existing Rishus HaYochid, here you have a pre-existing Rishus HaYochid. So, do you say, Hanochas Chefetz Vesiluk Mechitza Bahadi Hadodi Ka'osi Mechayev? Oiloi Mechayev? Do you say that the fact that you have the placing of the item, in this case the dirt, and the removal of the private domain status happening simultaneously, you nevertheless are chayev, and we emphasize because it was a pre-existing private domain, or maybe since you are right now in effect eradicating its status of the pit status of being a private domain, maybe that's grounds for innocence. So the question has been asked. This was Rabbi Yochanan's question. What does the Gemara do now? It tries to respond with another question. It says, Tifsho le mididei. Why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan answer his question with his own information? So structurally, and we've tried to note this on the side using a long question marking on the side of the Gemara to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, you see a kuf that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line indicating a question that lasts in the Gemara parallel to all the lines that are parallel to this dashed vertical line. So the Gemara asks, Tipshot Lehmedidei, why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan conclude his own question from his own information? This not. We have a Tanaic source. Hazorik Arba Amos Bekoisel. One who throws something a distance of 4 amos toward a wall, and it ends up sticking on the wall. L'malo me'asora tvochim, kizorik ba'avir. If you throw it above 10 tvochim, so it will be innocent because above 10 tefachim is considered a mokum ptur. It's not considered rishos harabim. And we're dealing right now with the malocha of mavir arba or zorik arba amos rishos harabim. When it lands more than 10 tefachim from the ground, it's not landing in the rishos harabim. Lamata me'asora kezorik boretz. If you're throwing something at a height of less than 10 tefachim, so it's as if you're throwing it on the ground. Vazorik boretz arba amos chayev. And one who throws something on the ground in a public thoroughfare, so he is guilty. V'havinan bo, and the question is asked, v'halo noch, if you throw something at a wall, it doesn't stop there, it doesn't land there, it bounces off. And if that's the case, so it hasn't traveled, if it rebounds off the wall, it hasn't traveled a total of 4 amos. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Bitvela, Shmeino, Shaninu, and Rabbi Yochanan explains the Mishnah we just saw quoted in the frame as referring to a sticky cake of figs. Dvela Shmeino is pressed figs that are very sticky, and you throw a cake of these pressed figs at a wall, it will stick to the wall. And it said in the source that if you are throwing it and it lands on the wall less than 10 tefachim from the ground, it will stick to the wall. One is guilty. But you could ask, V'amai, why should he be guilty? Ha ka mimayet me'arba amos. The thickness, since from where I'm standing till the wall itself are a mere 4 amos, is it not so that from the thickness of this cake of figs will reduce the distance between me and the item just thrown? And yet we don't seem to say that is a mitigating factor. And why is he guilty? Because originally there was 4 amos. So too with regard to the pit, if it originally was a rishus hayochid, the fact that I'm reducing its depth should not be a mitigating factor. So Rabbi Yochanan didn't have to ask his question. Isn't the information Rabbi Yochanan tells us here with the case of the Arba Amos Rishus Harabim and the Dveila Shmeino should answer his own? He should be able to answer his own question from this case. The Gemara says no, they are different. Hossam in the case of the Dveila Lo Mevatel Lei. He's not going to leave it there permanently stuck to the wall. Therefore, it doesn't constitute a mi'ut, a reduction in distance. And therefore, in that case, he's clearly guilty. He hasn't really reduced the distance. In the case of the boar and the dirt, he is going to leave the dirt permanently at the bottom of the pit. So maybe that constitutes a reduction of the domain, and therefore it's not as if he placed the dirt in a private domain, because he is reducing it permanently, the depth of the pit. So the question Rabbi Yochanan asks remains a question, and the Gemara's attempt to say that his question could be answered from the case of the Dveila Shmeino, not so. Boi Rova Zorak Daf Vinoch Al Gabi Yesedos Mahu. A person threw a daf. A daf is a board, and it landed on some yesedos, on some spikes or pegs. These pegs are 10 tefachim high. They themselves are less than 4 tefachim in width. So the pegs do not constitute a rishus ayochid. The board that I'm throwing that lands on the top of these pegs is 4 by 4 tefachim. So the impression we get at first glance is that you're throwing a board and it lands on pegs, creating an entity that's 10 tefachim of height, 4 by 4 tefachim of width. You notice a bracketed section, and the reason for this is to initially skip the bracketed section, because within the brackets, the Gemara is trying to clarify what Rava is asking to begin with, and that becomes clear after the brackets. And if we skip momentarily, it says, Ki kome boyale l'Rava, what Rava is asking about is a case as follows, Kigon dezorak daf v'chefetz al-gabov. He's throwing a board, and there is an item on the board as it is being thrown. So we'll get back to the real question in a minute. But let's now look at the bracketed section. Rava says a person threw a daf, a board, and it lands on these pegs. Mahu, what is the din? So in the brackets, the Gemara asks, Mai komi boyale, what is Rava's real question? Hanochas chefetz vasias mechitza behadi hadodi kaosu. Is he talking about the placing of an item at the same time that a domain is being created? Namely, the board completes the pegs, making it a unit of a Rishus HaYochid. So there's an issue of creation of domain in a simultaneous Hanocha fashion. Is that what he's asking? What is the din in such a case? Well, if that's what he's asking about, Hainu to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan already raised a question like that. Rabbi Yochanan spoke about the case of someone digging out a bore of 9 tefachim, creating a Rishus HaYochid, and simultaneous with his creation of the Rishus HaYochid, he is also placing the dirt in the Rishus HaRabim. So, If the issue is creation of domain simultaneous with the act of Akira or Hanocha, that was already dealt with. So why does Rava have to ask a question that was already raised? So the Gemara goes on, Ki komebaya le l'Rava, what Rava is asking about is Kegoin the Zorak daf v'chefetz agabov mahi, threw a board, and on the board that he was throwing, there was an additional item. There's another item on the board. My, what is the din? Kevon de Bahadi Hadodi Kosu. Now, before we go on, we have to say, and Rashi so importantly points out, that Rava's question is based on an assumption that we would make with regard to Rabbi Yochanan's question before. Namely, if you accept, like Rabbi Yochanan, that Hanochas Chefetz and Asiyas Mechitza Bahad Adodi is not Chayev, where the placing of the item and the making of a domain, where the making of the domain happens simultaneously with the Hanocha, one is not guilty. So, as far as the board itself landing on the pegs, he will not be guilty regarding the board, because simultaneous establishment or creation of domain with completion of the malacha of hoitzah does not create guilt. Fine. That would be clear. However, what we want to focus on is the chefetz that's on the board. The Gemara continues. My kevon de Bahati Hadodi Kosu, since the domain is being made simultaneously with the landing, Kanochas Chepitz Vasias Mechitza Domi, it would be like the case of the Hanocha of the item and the making of the domain happening simultaneously. And as Rashi says, we will assume that that is Potter, Oy Dilma, or possibly, Kevon Dolo Efsher, Dolo Midli Purta Vahoder Nayach. Since when the board lands, technically speaking, the chefetz lands a moment later than the board. As the board comes down, a slight gap, it's not as if the item, the chefetz, is attached to the board. So the midli means it rises a bit. So since it's impossible that the chefetz rises a bit above the board and then lands on the board, Kasiyas Mechitza V'Hanochas Chefetz Domi, it's more accurately described as first the Mechitza is made, a domain is made, and then the Chefetz lands. And that would be reason for him to be Chayav, because the Chefetz is landing on something that already is a Rishus Hayochid. Teku. So this remains unresolved. Omar Rava, Pshita Li, the following is not a question, it's obvious to me. Mayim al gabi mayim hainu hanochoson.
That would mean if a person is standing in a public domain and scoops out some water from a pit that's full with water, but the pit is 10 tefachim deep, so the water in the pit is in effect in a private domain. So scooping water from water, that is its hanocha, meaning what does that mean? And if in order for one to be in violation of hoitzah, it means you have to pick something up from its state of hanocha. That's called doing an akira, and then placing it down in another domain. So that would be, it's clear that mayim, removing mayim from mayim, is you're taking mayim from its state of rest, so that means you're doing an akira, and then placing it down in a public thoroughfare, that would be its hanocha. And one would be guilty. Egos agabi mayim, if one is, let's say, walking by a pit and there's a nut floating on the water, the nut is not said to be at a state of hanocha, and therefore you're not doing akira. Akira is only when you pick up something from a state of rest, from a state of non-movement. So egos agabi mayim lav, the Gemara at the top of Kuf Omer Aleph says lav hainu hanochasim. That's not its place of hanocha. Therefore, taking the nut from its state of floating is not called akira. Boi Rava. Rava asks egos bekli ukli tsof al gabi mayimahu. Let us say you took a nut out of a vessel that was floating on water, and the water was in a pit that is a rishus hayochid. And you took the nut from the cup floating on the water and then placed the nut in the rishus harabim. What is the din? Mi amrinon, do we say boser egos azlinon vohanayach? You focus on the nut, and the nut wasn't on water. The nut was in a cup. That's a normal place for a nut to be. So it was at a state of hanocha. Therefore, taking the nut from the cup would be considered akira oidilma, or possibly boser kli azlinon vohalonayach. Or do we say you look at the vessel, and the vessel was not at a state of rest. It was floating on the water. And therefore, the nut is part of the kli, we'll say, being that it was contained in the kli. And you focus on the kli, so you would not be guilty. Teku. This remains unresolved. Shemen al-Gabi Yayin. Machlikis Reb Yochanan ben Nuri v'Rabbanan. How do you view oil that is on top of wine? As you know, oil is a type of liquid that floats to the surface when it's combined with other liquids. So let us say you scooped up some oil that was floating on wine. So you had a pit that was a rishus hayochid and filled with wine, and on the surface of the wine there was a layer of oil. Machloikes Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Rabbanan, the Shabbos, the analysis of this halacha with regard to Hilchit Shabbos would be based on a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbanan in a different topic. Disnan, we have a Tanaic source, Shemen Shitzof al Gabi Yayin, the same model of oil floating on wine. Vinoga Tful Yom B'Shemen. A Tful Yom is a person who is a moderate level of tumah. It's a person who was tamei, who immersed himself in a mikveh, and the sun has not gone down yet. He is called a tevul yom, and in that state of tumah, he will ruin trumah. Trumah is sensitive to contact by a tevul yom. So, if you have oil of trumah that's floating on wine of trumah, and a tful yom touches the oil, lo posal elo shemen. He, being the tful yom, is a second level tuma, and what he touches, if it's truma, would become a third level tuma. And when it comes to truma, a third level tuma doesn't ruin anything further. So, this opinion, the Tanakama in this source says the tful yom will affect the oil, but he does not affect the wine. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri Omer Shnehem Chibur Ze Lozeh. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri looks at them as a one continuum.
and therefore touching the oil is in effect touching the wine, and the wine will also become posel. So how does this tie into our Shabbos question? So Rashi says, Shneim chibur tahave kechad. They are like one, the nifsal, and the lower level wine will also become posel. Lower level meaning it's underneath the oil. It will become posel. Af hayayin, the nifsal af hayayin, uli'inyan Shabbos nami, regarding Shabbos as well. L'rabbonan, the first opinion in this source, havele ke'egos al gabi mayim. The oil, vis-a-vis the wine, is like the nut floating on the water, and it's not considered at a state of hanocha. Ulu Rabbi Yochanan, that's Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, have le kemayim al gabi mayim, since he views them as one continuum, it's like water on water, and therefore it is at its state of hanocha, and scooping up the oil from the top of the wine would be considered an akira, according to Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.